Meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 3:30 p.m. on Monday, April 15th, 2019. Ooh, sounds like tax day to me. We have a quorum. Present are Vice Chair Coghill, Senator Giesel, Senator Bishop, Senator Keel, Senator Kawasaki, and myself, Chairman Birch. Senator Reinbold will be a few minutes late. She's at another meeting. Please silence your cell phones. And I would say, note that we have one item on today's agenda. It's the SB 91, the Noyakuk River Hydroelectric Project, sponsored by Senator Hoffman. This is the first hearing on the bill. It is my intention to have the bill introduced, take invited and public testimony, and set the bill aside for further deliberation. With us today to introduce the bill is Senator Hoffman's staff, Tim Grusendorf. Tim, please take a seat, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tim Grusendorf, staff to Senator Hoffman. Before you is Senate Bill 91. I will just go through the quick sectional because this is one of the first bills I've ever worked on that if you actually read the two paragraph, the two sections of the bill, it's pretty much its own sectional. So, and then I'll let the people, the co-op, come up and talk about the project itself. The bill is pretty straightforward, and basically what it does is it adds the Noyakuk River Falls to include it on a list of sites that are not considered an incompatible use of the Wood-Tikchik State Park. Currently, right now, there are already two areas in there that are already on this list, and this would be adding a third, the Noyakuk River, to that River Falls to that list. And then the second section instructs the State Management Council, along with the Department of Natural Resources, to amend the management plan to conform with the changes made in Section 1. And that is the simple, short explanation of what the bill does.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Do you want to roll it over to understand Bob Armstrong? You can come forward, and you're welcome to have a seat at the table and introduce yourself for the record. And I understand you're going to be got a slide deck here for us.
I do.
All right.
Yes, I'm Bob Armstrong with Nishiak Cooperative, electric operations manager. Got a short slide presentation here for you.
Okay.
If you look at the split screen on the right side, you can kind of see a ridge runs on the right side of the lakes. It's basically a natural dam that is set up for the lake drainage. And on the left is the Noyakuk Falls, which is a natural spillway. After seeing this site, I got on the USGS flow meters are all over the country. So I got on there looking to see if there was a flow meter at this site, and there's been one there since 1953, so we had a lot of daily flow data to use to see if this would be a viable project. We took that and took Google Earth Pro and seen the difference in the elevation from top of the falls to the bottom to try to calculate how much water it would take to produce what we needed for power. And with the flows they have there, a quarter of the flow is a minimum of 4.5 to 10 megawatts. And that's going to fluctuate with the river flow, just like our load does. In the summer, when the flows are high, is when our load is high. In the winter, when the flows are low, is when the load is low on our power grid. So it actually matches up perfectly with what we have. And this is very, very conservative numbers. With the flows we had last year, it would be significantly more production availability with a quarter of the flow. Even at this levels here, it would be enough for regional distribution to pick up the three villages on the Noyakuk River, upriver of Dillingham.
Bob, do you want to take questions as you go?
Sure.
Okay. And I would note that we've been joined by Senator Reinbold. Thank you. I just had a question that came to mind is about the, you know, the electric use being much lower in the winter than it is in the summer. That seems counterintuitive to me, just based on depending on how the electricity is used, from what I'm familiar with.
Right.
Maybe,
and
could you explain that?
Yes, it was the same for me too. If you haven't picked up, I'm from Tennessee originally, so the air conditioning drives the summer up rates up, or the summer loads up significantly where I'm from. So it's the same thing. The difference here is fish processing. Okay. Dillingham, that's our main industry, is fish processing, fishing in general. Mm-hmm. So that's why the loads are extremely high in the summer. And in the winter, it's just us locals that are there. Mm-hmm. And most of us heat with fuel oil, so the loads go down significantly.
Okay, fair enough. Any other questions?
Well,
Senator Kalsar?
Maybe you can just finish.
Okay.
The presentation.
Go ahead. Proceed.
Okay, this is initial design. This will also be modified, I'm sure, according to how the studies go. Once the studies are done, we'll do a final engineering on the project. But basically what you're doing is you're tapping the river at the upriver side of the falls, run it through a pipeline called a penstock down to your turbines, run through the turbines, and dump right back into the river. It's about 1,500 feet that the water will be diverted. This helps in a couple of different ways. Your water temperatures are not going to change that much in 1,500 feet. It's not going to change a lot in the temperature of the water. And also your nitrogen levels, which usually increase when you run through turbines or any kind of turbulence whatsoever. So your nitrogen levels are already up because of the falls, the natural turbulence in the river. So it's going to match up pretty good with that part too. Of course, there's a lot of stuff that the studies will show difference and modifications that we may have to make, but this is basically the design.
Do you anticipate this impacting any of the fish transit, or transiting through the waterway?
We do not. We think we can do it in a way where we will not have a significant impact. That's why we're doing it just tapping the river instead of putting up a dam. The natural flow of the river will still be just the same as it always was, and the natural pathway for the fish, the smolt coming down and the adults coming up, will still be the same as it always been. You'll just be diverting some of the water through your penstock into your turbines.
Question, Mr. Chairman? Question, Senator Bishop?
Thank you. What's your dot pipeline diameter?
That will also have to be we don't have the exact diameter. It'll be 25 feet, something like that. To get the amount of water that we'll need, it'll be at least 25 feet bigger around. So it could be bigger, but I'm thinking at least 25. You're talking about a huge amount of water. That river is about 560 feet at the top of the falls. Right, the first wavy part you see there in that oxbow is about 560 feet wide. It's an enormous river. When you don't have a lot of drop, you need a lot of water.
Where you need the so you got the volume.
Correct. You have to have volume if you don't have drop. That also helps with the fish. This is called a low head turbine setup. So when you have high head, you got high pressure differences in behind the turbines and in front of the turbines. And that's generally what causes harm to the fish. It's not being chopped up or like a lot of people would think. It's the pressure difference. It's kind of like if you've ever been deep sea fishing and catch a fish in deep water and you pull it up and he's all eyes bowed out and stuff, it's because of the pressure difference that happens really fast. They can't survive that. This kind of setup here, there's low head pressure. So you need a lot of water, but it's very, very fish friendly. Mm-hmm. They have designed turbines now called, there's several different types of turbines and we don't know which one we'll be using, but they're all low head turbines. Mm-hmm. And the survivability of the fish is about 98% of any fish that happen to go through the system.
That's on the inadvertent chance one got in there.
On the inadvertent chance. That's the thing the studies will show when we put the intake in. I wish I have better pictures of this site where you could see it better. The natural flow of the river, there's a divot right at the top of the falls, which would be where we'd put the intake. And then you build a guard across it. And then also the studies will show us, once we get in there and find out what the natural route of the fish, what they mostly travel, we can build it accordingly so that you do the meat, you pull in the least amount of fish if there is any at all. There's a lot of different things that you can do to mitigate and actually guide the travel of the smolt, especially coming out. Not necessarily the adults going up, but the adults going up won't be as big an issue because they're just going to go right on by, keep going.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here today. I thought you had a Southwest Alaska draw behind your voice, but I guess it's a little bit further south.
A little bit further, yes.
So a couple questions. First of all, and I don't know if you can answer this or if this is more to the bill sponsor, but does the current state park management plan actually prevent hydro or this particular Nuyukuk River Falls hydroelectric?
Yes, they have two sites designated now for hydro development, and Nuyukuk Falls is not one of them.
Gotcha.
It wasn't included in the initial plan.
Thank you. Through the chair. On the, it sounds like there has been some studies done. I mean, if we don't pass this bill, what's to prevent the studies from continuing?
We have a FERC preliminary permit right now that locks this project up for Nuyukuk only. We have 3 years to get studies done to show progress on the project. There is a possibility of getting a two-year extension through FERC. Mm-hmm. If we don't show significant progress on it and we can't get it done in 3 plus 2 years, the study process completed, they will take, they probably won't get let us finish the permit. Right now, we're in our first year. June will be the anniversary of our first year for putting in for the FERC preliminary permit, which was very significant because it locks it up for us. If we get these bills passed, we'll still have to get a permit from the parks, which will have to be put up for comments, which is going to be probably another 2 months. So you're looking at August at the soonest this year. So we're already in our second year, August. We got 2 months, 3 months at the most, we could get some work done before winter sets in. If we wait until next year and do the bills and do the same thing, comment period be August before you get started. Now you got 3 years worth of studies to get done in one season and 2 months without getting an extension.
So through the chair, I guess I'm not really tracking. If we don't pass this piece of legislation, which changes the management plan for the area, mm-hmm. why can't the studies continue outside of that? So the studies that you're currently doing, and there's a list of them in the back.
Oh, I see. Yes, I see what you're saying.
The Nuyukuk project cost estimates, and there's a list of a dozen or so different studies that you're undertaking, 21 different studies that you're undertaking for this. Why couldn't that happen concurrently to this bill? Or do you need this bill to proceed to the next stage?
That's the only way we'll be able to do them studies. The only studies that we're allowed to do, we got to put some water temperature gauges in and do some survey work. And other than that, as the park status is written now, we can't do anything else. We can't do any more studies. All of the studies that are on this list we took to parks, and they said that we would have to have legislative action and pass a bill in order to finish the studies.
Thank you. Yes. And then through the chair, one last one. If at what point in time would the cooperative just say that this doesn't work, or the you find out the fish passage assessment in 2019, the money that you spend looks like it will actually be a problem for fish passage or one of the other things, icing studies or something like that. At what point in time would you as a cooperative decide that this is not necessary?
Right. As soon as we seen that there was going to be, it wasn't a viable project, we would pull out and stop. We've already done that. We have a track record of doing that. We did do studies on Grant and Alva, the other two hydro sites that are in the park purpose, and we returned about $4 million back to the grant agency we got it from because it didn't seem viable, so we stopped. As soon as we figured out it wasn't viable, we stopped, and we'll do the same with this.
Okay, so just one more. So then currently the Grant and Alva, which are in the bill,
mm-hmm.
Are not actually in operation, but were studied.
That is correct. They were studied and found not viable.
Great.
So we backed out of them and actually returned $4 million back to the agency.
Super. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome.
Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Been overlaying maps on one another, trying to figure out the power lines. Are the power lines to, it looks like to Koliganek and Stoyahawk would basically have a half mile to get out of the park, and then they would not be in the park. How about the power line to Oleknik itself? Would that have to travel through the park very far?
No, sir. The glacier moraine that actually that where the glacier created the lakes, the top of that ridge is outside the park, and that's basically where we'd want to travel. As you know, when you get on the top of a ridge, you have less creek crossings, less river crossings. It's more stable soil. It's a better place to have your infrastructure anyway. So that natural route is outside the park. It would be just to the east of the park boundary.
Follow up. And then is it likely this project, if it goes, will be able to supply Leave Lock, or is that a little too far, a little too much load?
It would definitely be able to supply Leave Lock. Yes, the loads there are really, really small, less than a megawatt between the four upriver villages. The Leave Lock is looking to put a fish processing deal in, and so their load's going to go up a little bit in the summer. But once again, that won't be a problem either because of the water levels at that time. Our production would be up as well.
And last follow-up. One last question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I see in the packet there is a letter from United Tribes, Bristol Bay, and they're asking for more consultation. Can you bring us up to date on what the state of consultation with the tribes is and what the expectation is going forward?
We have no any news at all. They were saying they needed a year to think about it to see if there was a different way to get into the park, was my understanding. We've been working with the Park Service, DNR, for over a year now. They are the ones that told us that this is the only way forward, to have these bills passed so we could get in and do the studies. I do not have any updates on that as far as that's all I've heard so far.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Rainbow.
Thanks. I worked with Parks for 5 years. I was on 8 boards and committees and subcommittees dealing with access plans, trails plans, management plan. Mm-hmm. Is the most frustrating thing of my life, I think, because we had this fuddy-duddy, and he tried to kill and stop everything and delay everything, and it was all about him, not about the global. So I feel for you, let me tell you, like no one can. And I finally just gave up and became a legislator because I just realized that we weren't going to get anywhere that way. But I will tell you that I do believe parks plans are plans. They're just general plans that need to be modified as new needs develop. And so I do think you have a lot better person at the helm right now, you know, in the park. So I'm glad that he gave you good counsel and that you're moving forward on the action. But I wanted to give you one tip. Categorical exclusion is a key word in government lingo. So all the bureaucrats that I work with at the National Park Service, that was their little code word for this is a way to evade the whole process. So I just brought them on board on my committee, and we were able to move things faster. So we got almost 10 kilometers of trails built. But anyway, just want to wish you the best. We have a lot of very successful hydro projects in Eagle River, and we continue to do more smaller ones. And I just think this is a really cool idea, and I support it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much annually do you anticipate this will take, how much carbon per ton annum it'll take out of the atmosphere?
I have not figured that out. I do not have the exact stats on the upriver villages of what all they have. It will be significant. We're looking at about 1.5 million gallons of diesel a year coming out.
You could do a follow-up with me at a later date with you. When you get that, I'd be curious.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay. So any additional questions? Anything further? Or it's your last slide here, right?
That's the last one, yes, sir. That's the abbreviated version.
Well, thank you. I did want to note that Robert Himshut with Nishigak Electric CEO is online and available, and I think he's going to be signed up for testimony as well. And we have others that are available at this point. Are there any other committee questions,
Mr. Chairman?
Beforehand?
Just one. I know that we talked about how much volume, but what is the actual drop from one end of the river to the other?
We have not completed the temperature work yet, which is a underwater survey, basically. We're guessing around 30 to 40 feet. It'll be between 30 and 40 feet.
And just out of curiosity, Mr. Chairman, what kind of soil and bedrock are you working in?
It looks like solid rock. That's another thing that the studies will show us. That'll be one of the things we'll have to do is geo work. We'll have to come in and do the core holes, core samples, so we can find out what kind of rock we're dealing with. And that's one of the things that's not allowed to do. Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd also note that we have Ricky Geese, the director of Alaska State Parks, is online and available for questions. But first, let's go ahead and open public testimony on SB 91. Let's see. And we'll see if there's anybody in the room that wants to testify. Please come forward, give your name for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Christine O'Connor. I am the Executive Director of Alaska Telecom Association, and I am also a former board member of Nushigat Cooperative and former board president, and I lived for 24 years in Dillingham. So this project is very exciting to me personally and professionally. I'm sure you all know the cost of energy in rural Alaska is a continual drag on our economy, on our quality of life. And the potential for this project to lower those costs is transformational. But also, another struggle as the years have gone on is connectivity. And by placing this infrastructure, the cooperative, which is also a telephone cooperative, will be able to place fiber, which will bring broadband service to the whole region, which is as transformational, in my opinion, as lower energy costs in this time. So I just wanted to express my support for the bill. And also, Alaska Telecom Association formally does support the bill, and we've entered a letter to that effect in the record.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Ms. O'Connor. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. I don't believe we have anybody else in the room. With that, we'll go online. We'll start with, let's see here, let's go off net. We have a Robert Himshute referenced earlier, CEO of Nushigak Electric Co-op. Want to testify this afternoon, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to the members of the committee for allowing us this opportunity here today. I would like to express to you the commitment from our board to approach this project with the same diligence that we took a look at Grant and Elba with. We knew going into this the location was critical, that this had both regional potential and regional impact. We knew that social license would be absolutely critical to moving this thing forward. With that in mind, not only did we do the desktop studies that Mr. Armstrong talked about to determine the potential of the site and what we could provide from it. We also went out to all the communities and a whole lot of stakeholders. Over the last year and a half, we've presented this project over 70 times in 70 different venues. The local communities to state and federal entities, to environmental groups, to regional events like SWAMC. We've really tried to put this out there and get this in front of enough people so that we could judge the reaction. And other than the most recent and what I believe is misguided quasi-opposition, because the letter states that it is that United Tribes are in favor of continued study of the project. They're just not in favor of the bill, and we have reached out several times now. We just haven't been able to sit down with Mr. Hyano and the rest of the United Tribes. We believe the misunderstanding comes from a belief that we have other options to get into the park. And I'll be the first to say that if we could have done this administratively and done the studies without having to do a statutory change, we would have been very happy to do so. This is what has been required of us to advance the studies farther than we have in the last year and a half through the desktop study phase and public outreach. With the social licensing that was obviously necessary region-wide, one of the things that our board did was pass a fish-first policy, or fish-first resolution, which I believe you've got a copy of, that states exactly how we would interpret the study and the results of the studies and the sort of safeguards for what we know is a regional heartbeat.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your testimony, sir. I think we have a couple of questions. Senator Reinbold.
Okay. So first of all, thank you. Thanks for putting this project forth. My father was an electrical engineer and big time into hydro. He got me a major believer into hydro projects. But anyway, I'm headed out there middle of June. Are you doing any site people where they can view the site where the dam or where the project is going to be? Is that a possibility or is that confidential information?
Senator Reinhold, through the chair, we would be happy to take you up. It's somewhat of a remote site, but we like to get different views of it at different times of the year. And if you would pass on your contact with Mr. Armstrong, and I'm sure he'll pass on his and mine, we would be happy to accommodate any time you could give us.
Through the chair, as long as I'm not an inconvenience, but I'm definitely very, very interested in looking into this. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. One question on, do you have any plans as far as funding the project, or do you have anything in the queue there?
Through the chair, we have a couple of potentials for what it's worth. We put in a capital request with the state this year, understanding the process the budget is under. We've been back to Washington a couple of times and have gotten really good support there. We may have some mechanisms between USDA, RUS, DOE, Indian Energy, EDA. There's some possibilities there. One of the things that we need to do to find money, though, is to make sure that we have access to the park so that when we are requesting grant funding, we can follow through with that request if we are lucky enough to be the recipients.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Much appreciated. And we've got a few more folks lined up to testify, and next would be Corey Warnock, consultant for Nooshigak Cooperative. Corey, are you there?
I am here, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Please read your name into the record, and we've got a couple minutes there for you to kind of give a quick summary. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you said, my name is Corey Warnock. I'm a senior regulatory a natural resources consultant for McMillan Jacobs Associates, and I've been working with the cooperative for approximately the last year in sort of its initial phases of getting going on the licensing process for this project. I've been managing these types of projects in the Pacific Northwest and Alaska for about the last 20 years. I think most of the dialogue that I was going to be involved in, or at least provide an advisory perspective on, has already been had. You guys are proactive. but what I was here to do was provide some additional context with respect to the regulatory process that this project needs to go through, and maybe clear up any misconception that exists in regard to this bill and what this bill would and would not allow. I think there's a little bit of concern out there amongst the public right now that this bill might in some way exempt the project from going through the more expansive FERC regulatory process, or expedite that process and allow it to be designed and constructed and operated in advance of what that process would normally dictate. And I'm just here to clear the air and state the fact that is by no means the case. This project will be required to go through a very rigorous and onerous regulatory process, which will involve a number of years of feasibility studies. And to a certain senator's question regarding when the Nooshigak Cooperative would cease if feasibility didn't appear to be the case, they wouldn't only decide to cease, they would be required to, because if at some point during the regulatory process that feasibility appears in question due to studies and analysis and other things of that nature, the project could not move forward. So I'm happy to provide more detail if there's questions with respect to the regulatory process or some of the natural resource and engineering studies that may need to take place to determine whether or not this project is viable. But for now, I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Warnock. Let's see, any questions? And so we'll move to off or to Dillingham LIO. First up, we have Mark Lisak in Dillingham. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, my name is Mark Lisak. I'm a 36-year resident of Dillingham, a co-op member here, and a retired federal fisheries biologist. I've also been accused of being an environmentalist, but I'm also a renewable energy advocate. I've spent many hours, personal hours, traveling and camping throughout the park. On those previous efforts that were mentioned for Elva and Grant Lakes, I was in opposition to those efforts. But after the co-op spent the time and energy to study those for 5 years, they went ahead and did the right thing and canceled that AEA grant. So those two projects require damming of those drainages. I'm in support of this SB 91, just to amend the statutory language to include that Nuyukuk Falls site, because it won't require a dam. It requires more of a run-of-the-river penstock type project, of which there's been a lot of proven technology and advancements in that technology to reduce the impacts of fish. And all this amended language will do is allow the co-op to get the DNR permits to operate within the park, to get the baseline data necessary to assess those project or that project to see if it's actually viable, so that they can continue on with the FERC requirements, which I've seen the list as you have, and it's quite extensive and it's going to take some time. Just thinking about the amount of diesel that won't have to be barged around in this country is very desirable. If it works out, great. If we can deal with all the aspects of the project, great. If it shows that it's going to have any impact to salmon, any fisheries, FERC isn't going to allow it, and the membership of the co-op are going to be adamantly against it. So this, I see this amendment is just allowing to amend the park statutory legislation just to allow that permitting and evaluation to continue. My last point, I guess, would be that I've heard oppositions about how this project may reveal a potential power source for other developments like the controversial Pebble Mine. And this concern doesn't appear to be voiced or based on any sort of facts. The amount of power that the Pebble project is going to need is so overwhelming that this project at most could provide up to 12% of what their needs are. Also, that the co-op, since they do have the initial FERC preliminary permits, our local co-op owns the project and can dictate how it's evaluated and whether it should proceed.
Thank you.
So with that, I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and committee, and that's it.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Lisak.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Looks like we have a question. Sir Kawasaki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a really quick question, since you brought it up. You might know the history. On Lake Elva and Grant Lake, do you know why there was a discontinuation of development or exploration?
From what I understand, they just don't have the potential to produce the power that we use. As Mr. Armstrong explained, the I think the co-op here in Dillingham alone uses in the summer like 4 megawatts. And if I recall, both of those projects combined with damming and extensive power lines running through the park would have only produced maybe half of that at their peak flows.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you again for your testimony this afternoon. Next, we have Paul Liedberg, Dillingham. Paul, are you online?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, please give your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes. Proceed.
Yeah, my name is Paul Liedberg. I've been a resident of Alaska for 40 years, rural Alaska for 30 years, and Dillingham for 15. Currently retired, but obtained my undergraduate education in natural resource management and served a 36-year career in that field. I take very seriously the commitments by legislative bodies when designated areas worthy of protection beyond the general status of state or federal lands. Considerable debate always goes into those decisions, and changes shouldn't be taken lightly. The proposed change to the original language of the park designation is one of those cases where careful consideration is warranted, I believe. What we currently know is that if the project is developed, there'll be some impacts to the park and to the resources within the park, but what we don't know is what level those positive and negative impacts will be to the natural environment and to society. Despite the surge in oil and gas development in this country, there's still an energy crisis in most parts of rural Alaska. The thing I believe we need to consider here is whether the impacts in developing this project within the park is a fair exchange for the expected impacts. I'm a proponent of collecting the information necessary to make a better informed decision as long as the collection doesn't materially conflict with the original intent of the park. In this case, I believe that conducting the necessary baseline studies to assess this project would not materially conflict with the intent of the enabling legislation. I can't provide an opinion yet on whether I support full development of the project. That would depend on many factors from which we're going to get more information, including not only the resource impacts, but the siting of the facilities, how the project would be operated, the expected power production, and other factors. Rural Alaska and the rest of the country, for that matter, will not escape the present or future energy crisis without impacts to our natural environment. What you as lawmakers and as what we as citizens need to be watchful of is that those impacts are the wise ones. In this case, I certainly think it's wise to move forward at a minimum to conduct the studies and evaluate the project further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your time and consideration of this issue.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Liedberg. Next, we have Gary Klein, Dillingham. Gary, there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gary Klein. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I live in Dillingham. I'm an Aleknagik tribal member. My family's originally from Aleknagik, which is part of the lakes, part of the state park. And I suppose I'm a commercial fisherman. I bought a drift permit last year, so I'm definitely concerned about the impact this project could have on salmon. But I'm also concerned of the sustainability of our communities, which includes the concerns of energy security and climate change. When I read some reports of the IPCC report on climate change, it indicated that we have 12 years to reduce our carbon emissions. Otherwise, we're at the tipping point and could go to a point of no return or face unprecedented changes. Now, I know that's controversial in itself, but I could attest to the changes we've seen in Alaska in the recent years. We recently saw the Nanana tripod tip over at its earliest point. And so I guess what I'm getting at is I view this project as potential where we could be part of the solution to reduce our carbon emissions and not be part of the problem to where we constantly use diesel fuel to power all our villages. I'm not saying I'm 100% for this project, but I would at least support the bill so the Nishigaak Cooperative can have access to the park to where we could see the feasibility studies and environmental impact studies. Lastly, I did call the Aleknagik Traditional Council about a week and a half ago to ask if they took position on this project as a concerned tribal member, and they said they deliberated on it about a year ago, and they didn't take a stance. They wanted to see more information, which I was happy with because I still want to see some of the studies as well before making a final decision. And thank you for your time on hearing my concerns.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Klein. Next, we move to Wanda Wall in Dillingham. Wanda, are you there?
Chairman Birch, members of the Senate Resources Committee, my name is Wanda Wall, and I'm a lifelong Alaska Native resident of Dillingham. And although I volunteer on the Nishigaat Cooperative Board of Directors, I'm testifying today as myself and not a representative of the cooperative. I am testifying today in favor of Senate Bill 91. I would like the management plan for the Wood-Tikchik State Park to add the Noyakuk River Falls as a site that is not incompatible with the management plan. I'm in favor of this bill for several reasons. One of them is the entity pursuing this project does have the best interests of the residents of this region at heart. Nishigaak has a fish-first policy. They're very aware of cooperative members placing a high value on the sustainable salmon fishery. Many of our members, myself included, have been commercial fishermen, or we eat subsistence salmon. Second, this hydro project is not a dam, but as I understand it, basically like a culvert that would divert a portion of the water flowing through the Noyakuk. And the water flow would only be diminished for a short section of the river. Now, if this turned out to be feasible, the possibility of bringing stability to the electric costs for a region is just mind-boggling. And to be able to lessen the environmental dangers of having to haul large quantities of diesel into Dillingham and the surrounding villages, the ability to reduce air pollution, I guess I'll wrap up by saying, as a lifelong resident of Dillingham with family ties going back generations, I can tell you there is a lot of local support to explore this very exciting possibility. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Wall. Next, we have Alana Hurley with the United Tribes of Bristol Bay.
Chairman Birch, good to see you on the TV again. This is Alana Hurley, the Executive Director of UTVB. For those aren't familiar with UTVB, we're a tribal consortium representing 15 tribal governments in Bristol Bay, and our citizenship represents over 80% of the region's population. I'm here to testify and speak to the letter of opposition to this bill our board submitted at the end of the March, and I'd like to clarify a few unfortunate misrepresentations of our position that have become apparent not only in the last couple weeks, but also today in previous testimony. And first, that would be that our opposition to this bill is not in opposition to the feasibility studies being conducted by Nishigaat Cooperative. UTVB has not actually taken a position on the feasibility studies, as many of our individual tribes have not as well. Just as many of the support resolutions and letters on the record today are not in support of the bill, but instead are in support of the feasibility study. This distinction is extremely important for obvious reasons. It's also important to clarify that Mr. Himshute characterizing our opposition as a misunderstanding of the cooperative's options is not correct either, and I'll go into the actual details of our concerns as I continue. While many of our tribes and community members have heard the many presentations and been in discussions with the Nishigaat Cooperative over the course of their exploration of this project, it's important to note that the legislation was talked about very broadly in those presentations, at least the ones that our membership has been a part of, and there has never been an outline or presentation on the bill in our community to discuss the specific details of the plans and redesignations of the falls. So it came to us as a surprise to many of our communities and leadership, which in our view is extremely problematic. UTVB's position on the language of this bill was outlined in our letter, but to further clarify, it's due to the fact that our tribal leadership has concerns with what we feel is unnecessarily broad language that changes the overall designation of appropriate uses for the Noyakuk Falls within the state park. And as written, this bill will open up the falls permanently. Our board's responsibility is to our communities and feels a more cautious and specific approach to removing more protective designations to any area in the park is critical when considering any types of development. At this point, we did not know if Nishigaak's project will move forward or not, and this bill doesn't take that fact into account. We feel any language changes that would put appropriate parameters or sunset language for a more cautious and deliberate approach to redesignating acceptable uses of the Niyukuk Falls would make this much more palatable to a region that has and continues to strive to be very thorough and deliberate in our considerations of any types of development. It's for those reasons our letters outline the need for further discussion and consultation with local stakeholders. To also correct the record and Mr. Armstrong's statement that the tribe said they needed a year to think it over, I'm not sure where that came from. But unfortunately, aside from individual discussions, there has been no direct effort to facilitate dialogue or solutions to our concerns.
Thank you.
It's also clear from our brief discussions with legislators and other permitting and management plan experts, because unfortunately our region has a lot of history in that arena, amending bill language or approaching this from a much more deliberate and cautious approach is not only completely possible, but is in the best interest of our people.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. So I think, the if I might, the last letter I have of record is March 28th, 2019. Is that correct?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it says that we ask that you withdraw your support for 99 SB 91. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the final line at this time.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, thank you very much. I don't see, thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Hurley. I don't see anyone else signed up to testify. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify this afternoon? Seeing none, with that, public hearing is closed. Are there any more questions or comments from committee members? Seeing none, with that, we would we'll plan on setting the bill aside for further discussion. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the bill sponsor and the presenters for their time this afternoon, as well as our committee members for listening to this exciting proposal in an area that does need power. I would just say in closing that we do not have a Resources Committee meeting scheduled for the rest of the week. Hearings for the week of April 22nd through the 28th will be noticed this Thursday afternoon, so stay tuned. And this meeting will stand adjourned at 4:18. Thank you.